All right, who's on?
Larry.
Who's on first? Larry, what's happening?
Well, not a bunch. I had that that meeting with the guy, but he wants like above market prices for his houses, so out in Louisiana.
That's not going to work.
No, that's what I told him. I go, yeah, I'm not. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm try to get rid of things at a lower price. So.
Yep.
He understood.
Yep.
So.
That's it. Shoot people straight. Tell them what you do, what you're looking for, and it works or it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And then I picked the Jacksonville area to start in, but, I mean, it's kind of chaotic down there. Do I try to find another area or what?
Tell you what, let me I was thinking about you over the weekend because I know Jacksonville got hit.
Yeah.
We've got a FreedomSoft user out there that's a rock star, and I shot him an email today to make sure he's okay.
Uh-huh.
He said he's fine. I was thinking, let me ask him for you. I'll just say, hey, what's the state of real estate out there with this going through? Because I think it hit him pretty good, but it's not nearly what Miami and the Florida Keys are dealing with, right? So I know there's some flooding along the coast, but I don't think it came in too far.
No, that's the thing. Is like you see on news, they try to blow out of proportion, but I mean it's really like I don't know, and it's bad. But I mean, 100 yards away from the ocean is where it flooded. You know what I mean? Not like all over town, like Texas or Houston.
Yeah, right. I think Jacksonville is going to be fine, but that's cool that you're on here. So I'll make a note to shoot him an email and see if I can get what's his take on it. Is it going to be a while in Jacksonville or? Or is it going to take a while to recover? I think you're going to be fine.
Okay.
That's my guess. Because I've got a my cousin lives in Orlando, and I think Jacksonville is maybe even a little further away.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was further north, and as it went north, it lost power. And I was talking to Brian by text, and they didn't board up their windows. They're fine. They lost power for a couple hours overnight, but then it came back on, and they were down in Orlando. So
yeah, okay.
I'm guessing Jacksonville's fine.
Yeah, I think
I'll
it's just more of that storm surge than anything else. I don't think the wind really did any damage to them. So
yeah, I think that sounds about right. Little limbs on trees, that kind of thing. but 40 to I mean we get 40 to 60 mile an hour gusts here out in the mountains a couple times a year, in the foothills. And it'll take some branches off trees and stuff, but it's never catastrophic. So,
yep. Okay.
Anyway. Yep.
Well, yeah. I'll
check
in with you
tomorrow.
Should
be fine.
Sometime
okay.
See what, yeah. Then, we'll
yeah. That sounds
there.
Good. Beautiful.
Okay.
Anything else?
I think that's it right now. Hopefully the house will close
okay.
that I get in, right down the street from me here, about an hour away from me, I guess, this week. And then,
yeah, you have that rural property, right?
Yeah.
Did you find a buyer for it?
No, I'm going to let that one close escrow. It's going to close this week, then let them get out of there, and I got to go clean up just a little bit because there's just trash everywhere.
Oh, gotcha. So you're just going to buy it yourself and then look to resell it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Are you doing any work to it or just cleaning it up?
I'm just going to clean it up. I don't want to like I said, it's an hour away from my house, an hour, 2 hour drive every day. I don't want to do that. So,
yeah, I don't blame you. Cool.
I just want to try to make some money off of it and move on.
Yep. I like it.
Well, that's it. Everything else going good?
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
Who else is with us?
Mike Riley's on.
Mike, how are you?
Well, I'm much better, thank you.
Good. Where are we at?
Well, I'm still, I have my direction, which now I can execute, now that I'm well enough to do it, so.
Yeah, I know you hadn't been on the last call, or maybe you just haven't chimed in, but did you go down for a little bit?
Yeah, I went down for about 10 days.
Okay, you back at it now?
Back at it.
Okay, do you need anything clarified? Because we lost a little time there, so let's make it up.
Okay, well, no,
anything
I think at this point I just need to get my I need to get the ad in and get the results out and get some bird dogs working in Cleveland.
Okay. The second you have a question, if something isn't clear, send it into the coaching email, all right? So we can get right back to you.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Yep. Who else? Anybody on from Florida? I know we had a few on Thursday. I sent out a couple emails today trying to make sure everybody's all right. I haven't heard back from a few, so. All right. Just checking.
Done.
What's that? Hey, Hussein.
How are you?
Good. You going to get me that email today?
Yes, I will.
By 7? Is that what you said, by 7 o'clock?
We'll try, yeah.
Because did I lose
I'm still trying to understand where the number to put in for one field, probably from the list source. I was still trying to get the number out. I couldn't establish
the
query yet. Yeah.
You have to. You just go click for click with the video. So when I show you something to do in the video, hit pause, go into list source, make that click. Go back to the video, hit play, get the next one, go back to list source.
Yeah, I'm doing that. Yep.
Yep. Just go click for click.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you got it. Once you learn that process, I get it. It's a new process, right? Get really familiar with it, because learning – or just, I should say, knowing how to use list source to go to for data is a really important skill. So that you're right, to just know how to do that, like you know how to brush your teeth is key. Because anytime you have a question, right, we don't ever Rob doesn't work off speculation. He works off data. And list source is just one of those websites where you can go and get quick and accurate data. So it's good to know how to use. Any other questions, Hussein? Or?
Oh, no, that's fine.
Okay, I'll be watching for that email. If you need any clarification on something, get an email into the coaching center so we can help out, all right?
Sure. And what's the email again? Because I've been emailing it to you.
Send it to successteam@realamericanwealth.com. SuccessTeam@realamericanwealth.com. Who else? Questions and updates? Hey, John,
Olivia.
Yeah, go ahead. Hey, Olivia.
Hey. Did someone speak up, John?
No, I heard him chime in, and I think he's in the middle of a rainstorm, so we'll get an update.
Yeah,
here.
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Olivia.
Okay. Yeah, you know, so I didn't move very far from last week, except that bird dog ad. I closed down that website I was trying, and I exported all the people that were – oh, the one that I was
Which
doing $1,000. $1,000. It was a Patrick Riddle Property Scout software trial.
Okay.
But what I was able to do was to export all those people into FreedomSoft.
Okay.
And so I have people I have people interested in taking the pictures. So
cool.
What I've been doing is getting them set up with their email that they text the pictures to and everything.
Louisville didn't get hit too hard, did it?
No, not
with the
yet.
Storm?
No.
And I think it's
you know
we were just talking about Jacksonville. I don't think it's too, but I guess we can get an update from John here in a minute. But I don't think it's too bad at this point as it moves north. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. I haven't watched the news since last night, and they said it was headed towards Louisville, but
yeah. I think it's, you know, 30 to 40 mile an hour winds, maybe, and some rain, but that shouldn't shut anything down, I wouldn't imagine.
No.
So,
I had a question for you too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm making my own calls. I do it regularly every day.
Yep.
I get out 10 to 20, and most of the times I'm leaving a voice message or an email. So I've been calling. Normally my call hours are being between 12 to 3:30 after lunch and before dinner. So I'm calling prime time. I've reached some elderly people that don't work or some retirees, but for the most part, I'm not getting anybody. All my emails are going through, which is good. There's no bounces.
That's good. Yep.
And I guess I'm not sure what to do in this case. I don't really want to call at night.
You can definitely call after hours. On your voicemail, if you have to leave a voicemail, you've got to leave. People, if they don't know you, they they're going to be hesitant to call you back. So you have to leave either a curiosity or something like that to get them to call you back. I heard this tip years ago. It's kind of funny. They said, you want somebody to call you back, start talking in the middle of the message and then hang up. So it sounds like you got disconnected, but hang up right after you say something really interesting. And I thought I'd kind of chuckle them. So that's kind of funny. But you can just call up and say, hey, my name's Olivia and I found your vacant home at so-and-so address. Mm-hmm. I've got an important question about it. Can you call me back real quick? And here's my number.
Oh, that's good.
So now it leaves a little bit of curiosity, like, hey, I wonder what their question is. I mean, your question is, do you want to sell it? You don't have to tell them that.
Yeah.
Give them a little carrot or a little something interesting in your script.
Okay.
To see if you can prompt that phone call.
Okay.
Then when you call back, mm-hmm. say, you know, you get them on the phone, say, or you can leave another voicemail. Hey, I left you a message. I still have an important question about it, right? And they're going to let the curiosity kind of build, and it usually helps to get return phone calls.
Okay.
So you don't have to say you're an investor, because that
– Can you say that first part again?
Yeah, just call up and give them your name.
Hi, I'm Olivia. Yeah.
Yep, yeah, give them your full name typically because that's less shady.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, I came across your vacant property at 123 Main Street and I had an important question about it for you quick.
Your property. Okay. I have important. Can you call me back real quick?
Yeah. Can you call me back quick?
Okay.
Yep. That way.
Okay.
They don't know you're an investor because if they do, somebody might have a stereotype. Just wants to give me a low offer, this, that, and the other, but you're just, you know, saying, here's who I am. I came across, you know, I bumped into your property, your vacant property at 123 Main Street. It just sounds casual.
Yeah.
Just had an important question about it real quick. Can you call me back?
Important.
That's it.
Okay, that's great. And then the two men that I did get a hold of, both of them had multiple properties. And they said, give me a call back or text me. Well, one of those guys I've texted again, and then the other man that had the property for sale that I called about, I called him back and left another message, and I haven't heard. I don't know. I guess they maybe think it's a scam.
You know, I wouldn't think
so,
but you can, you know, follow up. They told you to call them back, so you can be fairly persistent.
Yeah.
You know, shoot a little thing. You know, hey, I know the storm's heading your way. That's probably why you haven't called me back. You know, give me a shout, something like that. But yeah, and text is a great. Just a great way to communicate, and people read it. You know, they could just be busy. Hard to say. Anything along the East Coast now, south of the Carolinas, is pretty up in the air over the weekend. So
yeah, it really. Yeah, I get it. That yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So onward and upward.
Persistence
wins.
Yep.
Yes.
And then Olivia, you're gonna want somebody. If you can only work leads part time because of your schedule, you're gonna want somebody else that's at least part time. Jumping in there with you. You can tag team or even a full-time because then you can go part-time and just make sure there are a bunch of leads coming in the door.
Well, you know, that's my next step, Mike.
Yep. You got to have somebody. If you can't be on the phone consistently for 5 to 8 hours a day, then you have to find somebody to either supplement your time or step in. And then maybe the salesperson's full-time, you still keep doing your part-time, and now you have 1.5 efforts going, right? One full-time and one part-time, so.
Yeah, I can't do 5 to 8 hours. I can't.
Yeah, right.
But that's okay to say that, you know? But, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, if you have limited time, find somebody who has full-time. They'll be more effective. They'll get a hold of more people. Their follow-up will be more consistent, which will be better. And then you use the part-time that you do have to just make sure they have leads in front of them and to do some training. That's a better way to run it.
Because
you've made enough calls now that you can coach somebody through the script and what to do easy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Keep the leads coming in and get an ad posted for a salesperson.
Okay. I will do that.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else?
Hey man, can I go ahead and go?
Yeah. How's the weather?
I don't mean to butt in, but...
No, you're good.
I don't mean to be a Budinsky.
Budinsky. How bad is it there?
This wind's getting kind of hard, you know. I mean, gust up to 50, 55.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah. The average is 25 to 35, 40, something like that. And the rain's just getting harder and harder. So, but yeah, you mentioned Jacksonville. I heard they got hammered pretty good with some rain and stuff. So
they did, and the storm surge was up. But that's the thing is, how far inland did it come, right? Like Larry was saying on the news, they're going to show where the carnage is. But you know, I don't think when you know the ocean. I think they said the storm surge was 4 to 6 feet. So there's definitely flooding along the water, but that's what I told Larry. I'll try and get an idea from this guy that we know out there. See how bad it is.
Just saw a hawk fly through my backyard.
Yeah, a little breezy, but he's out flying. He seems to be okay.
Yeah, they went diving somewhere. But man, just a quick update. About 30 or 40 minutes ago, the lady from the title company down in NOLA called me, and she's emailing me documents tomorrow to overnight her after I get
closing.
Signed another. Yeah.
Nice. What's the date? Seems like it got moved up.
Thursday? Thursday, yeah. Yep.
I love it.
So,
I love it. That's awesome. Cool. What time?
Now I got
what time is the seller signing on Thursday?
Oh, she's going to make sure she's going to confirm all that with him. But she was just calling me to make sure that I could get them overnighted to her. I said, "Well, of course,
absolutely."
Yeah,
even with a storm going.
I got to go buy some meat cartridges, but that's okay.
Yep. Yeah, that's awesome. So that moved up from the 18th to 12th to 14th. Cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Real good.
That is.
So,
yeah, it's really good. Good stuff.
So hopefully I'll get paid by Friday.
Yeah, you should have a wire. Yeah, I would think she's just going to send a wire, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Good stuff. What else do you have cooking? I know it was, how was the weekend there? Was everybody just in preparation mode or what?
No, I mean, nothing got to us till really today. They were freaking out. You know, they closed all the schools for today and tomorrow, which I don't think tomorrow is really necessary, but I don't know. It could be. You never know. So.
It's supposed to rain all night, obviously.
Yeah, all night.
Yeah.
It's supposed to get, you know, more windy as the night goes on, they say, something like that.
Crazy.
But other than that, I went to
– All right.
I visited some properties and made about three offers, and one was rejected. And well, actually, one I haven't really offered yet because I got to find a buyer. It's a townhouse, and those are – not everybody buys townhouses.
Right.
But the one that got rejected – I mean, he didn't really reject it. But I went to see it, and he told me who had been out to look at it.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, oh, Todd," I said, I bet you his was kind of low. He said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, so-and-so, this other guy," he told me the other guy's name. I said, "Yeah." I said, he and I cross paths all the time.
Yeah.
And he told me what he offered.
Yeah.
And said it was the highest offer, so I said, "Well, let me get back. I got one more to look at, and I'll run my numbers and get back to you." And I called him about 6:30, and I gave it to him. He said, "Oh man, that's more than what's his name." He said, "But I've already accepted his offer." I said, "Well, I told you I was going to call you."
Yeah.
I said, "Man." Yeah, but that's okay.
All right.
I mean, but anyway, that happened before with the same guy.
Yeah.
And I bumped my offer up $500, and the seller took mine. I made about $9,000 on that deal back. It was about 6 or 8 months ago.
So now it's his turn to play.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to push it because it's it's in a hot area, and it didn't really fit the 70% rule or 65. But there was still a lot of, I mean, there was. I ran an analysis in FreedomSoft, and the minimum with the full bore hard money and everything else was like 45 something profit. So,
right.
So
it's a little fix and flip.
Yeah, fix and
flip. Yep.
not major rehab either. So.
Well, that I know you know it, but that 3 to 5 offers every couple of days just has to be the norm in both markets.
I know it.
I mean, that's the key stat right there. That's
yes,
the key
sir.
Stat. Everything else gets put in place so that we can make a ton of offers. That's the, you know, people, if anybody asks, what's the difference between Rob's business and mine? Right? When they ask that question, that's the difference. He has a team now that does it, but he just, more offers get made on his behalf than on yours. That's it. And so how do you make that happen?
Right.
Well, you generate consistent leads. Then you have a salesperson or a couple, right? He's got a small sales team. But at the end of the day, that is the magic stat, offers made. So I know we talk about it a lot, but, you know, it's about the fundamentals, and that's one of them. How many offers are going out on your behalf, on your business's behalf, on a
it's
daily
basis?
It's
never been enough
basis?
For me.
Yeah, that's the thing is it's
And actually, I feel like I've gotten pretty good at my ratios, really probably better than normal because of the way I've been doing it, but it's still not, you know, there's no volume there, so it really doesn't, you know,
right.
defeat my own purpose by doing it that way.
It's got to go to 10 to 20 to 30 a week. And then so from a business owner standpoint, you say, okay, to make 10 offers a week, how many leads do we have to have coming in order to figure it out? You know, who do I need on the phone? How much time is that going to take? And that's where we start, you know, full-time salesperson. At first, if they're setting you up, that's fine. So you get on the phone. But we've got to go, I mean, I talked to all of you individually, and then we talk group here, but I know where most of you want to go, and you have to get to at least 10 offers a week, 2 every business day, right?
Yeah.
And it's, again, it maybe feels to some of you like that's a ways off, but it's really not. It's just a matter of keep the bird dogs moving, get them skip traced, and somebody has to be on the phone full time, whether that's you, somebody else, you and somebody else. You have to figure out that combination. Because it's not magic, but that is the formula. Vacant leads, get the phone numbers, get somebody calling them.
Yes,
it's not
sir.
Magic, it just works. So,
hey, did you ever count the days up? If I do the 14th, I'm probably at about, if I go from the 1st, I'm at 44 days. So.
Yeah, you are.
Or 45. Let's see.
Yeah, 30, how many days last month?
31 last month.
August, yeah. 45 days on the nose, isn't it? 31 and 14?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All
so,
right,
yeah,
man.
If you've been on these calls, we've been tracking with John. He opened New Orleans August 1st and first deal closing Thursday. So 45 days from first day in new market to payday, which is really cool. Team high five, Chuck.
High five, high five. All right, man.
That's right.
Stay safe. I got no button down the hatches, so.
Yeah, stay safe.
All right, thanks.
All right, well, we're looking for a good update on Thursday with signed paperwork, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Talk soon.
All right.
See ya. Who else?
Hal.
Hal, how are you doing? You got to be in the middle of it.
No, it's not really. Too bad. I've never been one of these before. No,
yeah.
It's been raining and it's been different times of crazy winds. I mean, they come and go for a while.
Yeah.
And they've had a lot of trees down and they closed down the city of Atlanta, which is crazy. In fact, they pretty much closed down the state. But right now it's not bad at all. I just hope one of these trees doesn't fall on my roof.
I hope that too.
But
if it does, you'll know what to do about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I will. I want to give you an update. I found two people. I quit at two people right now that I'm going to. They're both single. One's a woman, one's a man. The man has got 7 years of just calling the numbers.
Okay.
And doesn't seem to be afraid of anything. He was high D, pretty high I. She was too, the lady. She's got a background in real estate. She was a mortgage broker. So was I back in the day.
Okay.
So a lot of similarities, and she's got a lot of calling background, and she wants a chance to do it again.
Cool.
So I'm going to meet. I'm going to have lunch. I'm thinking I was going to ask you. I think since neither one of them are married or have a, I might meet them both for lunch at the same time because I think I'm going to hire both of them.
You too. You could, yeah. Because here's the thing is, yeah, let them kind of see the who else is selling, right? Because then they're both high D, high I. They're going to be competitive. Count on it. And you want them to feed off that competition.
Absolutely. And
I mean that's a good scenario if you have two competitive people like that working towards the same goal.
I'm going to start by the other thing I was thinking about was, and I was sick all last week, or not last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I got some kind of bug and really I was in bed for 3 days. It's crazy. Anyway, I'm going to have them set appointments for me at least the first week. And after that, I think I'm going to turn them loose after I train them a little bit because I want to, I want them to understand our business and really what it's all about. They're going to meet me for lunch down close to some of our houses, and I want them to understand
what else
we're doing. And I just want to know what you thought of that.
I think it's perfect. So, yeah, show up. Yeah, absolutely. Get them on board. I like taking them both to lunch. Here's the thing too. When there's two, say, hey, you know, there are going to be times when the two of you just go start to finish with a seller, get the contract, that kind of thing. But being that there are two of you, if one of you is unavailable or vacation or, you know, life happens, you know, feel free to work together as well on this. And then, you know, they could split up a commission or something like that. But there's some advantages there with two.
Okay, well, I know I'm really slow getting this thing going, but I've got, if the weather clears up and everything else and no trees fall on any of my houses, I'll have three houses on the market by the end of the week, which I've been striving to do, and that'll free me up time a little bit, and I got to get work on some others. But with that said, I just got to get it rolling. I've been slow at it, I know, and
You know what, though? Here's the thing. You know, this is the, you know, we've talked about this before. This is the slowest you'll ever launch a market. It's the first time. So you're going to get some pieces in place, but then, you know, to go to market number two, you already have a skip tracer. You're going to have salespeople. You basically need a bird dog or two or three to generate some leads, and they plug in, and you go from, you know, where am I going to launch to, you know, leads in hand, making phone calls, contracts, you go there a lot quicker. So, you know, we want to move at a, you know, at a fairly quick pace as fast as we can on this first market, but we go a little slower up front to go fast long term, and that's fine. So how you're getting a ton of knowledge, you're getting some key pieces in place, you already had a lot on your plate, right? You have a bunch of flips going and you just fired a contractor. So all things considered, right, we're doing fine. So stay with us. We're making progress.
Yeah. Okay. Something else I wanted to ask you, but the site that I use, and I'm going to shut it down on Indeed after I hire these two. I mean, I probably had another dozen that sounded really good, and I did some first stuff with. I got rid of a couple of them that I talked to because I hate hiring people. But these two people, I told them the good, bad, and the ugly, and they want a chance. So
that's perfect. And you know what? You know, hire teammates. Don't hire. I mean, these folks aren't going to have the employee mentality anyway. But
right,
hire a team. Just say, listen, you two, I know how to turn these leads on. They're great leads. You can't get better real estate leads. These are high ticket items. They may just do one of them break off into sales and one into dispositions, and they just partner up and say, hey, what if you just focused on sales and I just focused on dispositions? You know, we split up the task and then maybe we can move twice as fast or whatever the case. But yeah, see if there's some synergy there. overlooked.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of hoping. By the way, on Indeed, I went back and looked, and the only thing I started off, I've got an email address, just what my name is. I didn't put any company information in there or anything else, and that's why I got it for free. And I had almost 200 people respond out of 2
Because ads. You're not a company?
It must be, because they never billed me. They said it's a free account.
Yeah, hard to say.
So
hey,
hang on
to those. Hang on to those applications, because there's these two may or may not work out. Turnover is a reality. It's a part of life. So hopefully they do, but if they don't, hang on to some of those apps. You can call them later.
Yeah, I'd already figured on doing that.
Yep.
So, but good point. That's all really.
Or you bring in, if they just want to kill it on sales, and then you hire disposition side or whatever the case. That's what you'll have to piece together as it starts to move.
I think it's I've got 3 people that can do the research on the leads now, and I've got 1 bird dog that's really good. So
feed the machine.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping, and get some ammunition. This week I've had 4 different people call me wanting a property that I know.
That's awesome. Yep.
So maybe I'll get it cranking.
Tell them you're right on the edge of feeding them. Yeah, here's the thing. When those 2 salespeople get on the phone, you have got to call every buyer you know and then find a bunch more and say, I've got marketing that's about to drop. I'm going to have deals. Do you have money that needs to be placed in the next 30 to 45 days? And get your short list ready of who has cash in hand that needs to be spent.
Well, in fact, I got to put that's my next step, if I can get these guys going, is the buyer's list. I'm sorting all these leads when we come across somebody that's owned by an LLC. That's an investor. Okay. And they're right in the area. They're right in the hot area. So why wouldn't you reach out to them? And what surprised me is the number of churches that I'm getting that are buying properties for an investment.
Yep.
I'm old, but I never heard of that before.
It's pretty interesting how often you come across that. Rob and Brad see that all the time in Memphis.
So if you've got, now the one thing I don't know is, I mean, if you got a phone number you can text to.
Yep.
A little tougher to get emails. And
you want the number anyway. You'll get better response off a text or call than an email.
Yeah. And what about sending a postcard? I got a postcard in the mail yesterday from a house that we bought from some investors that are actually wholesalers.
It.
So from wholesalers.
And make it stand out. I was telling Tom about this. Every investor sends the same postcard, and then Tom's a mountain climber. And so I said, I think it just came up. He said, I have a bunch of postcards here with some mountain on them, or if he's on, he could explain. But I was like, send that. That'll catch somebody's eye. Who the heck is sending me a postcard, right? You just want to get it looked at.
Yeah, that's right.
So send something that people will look at.
Okay.
And then skip trace the LLC. So you're the skip tracing tools, they can try those, but your skip tracing VA needs to help you find buyers. So they can go to Secretary of State websites, see what they can find there. They can look up websites for the company, for the LLC or whatever. Google search for them. I think there's a site somebody was talking about in here called corporatewiki.com, where you can look up corporations and find info. So, postcard,
okay.
And then have your VA start working on buyers for you to call.
There's a lot to this thing, but once you get it set up, I can see where then it can be a machine. I'm just
total
not
machine.
There. I'm just not there.
Yeah,
yet.
But you're you don't go from zero to every piece in play.
No, I know.
You put them into play. So I'm just saying, when you have salespeople calling sellers, you've got to go with time you have. You have to go 100% to buyers so that you can get deals at the closing table and get them paid. Because when they see what they can make and, hey, this actually works, the motivation level will just increase. And then now you've got a buyer's list. So you either take one of them or hire a third person, put them on the disposition side of things, say, hey, I've already got, you know, a core group of buyers. Here's how you add to it. Here's what you're going to do when sales hands you a contract. And then you can step out of that piece. And one by one, you're just backing up and putting somebody else into play, putting this team together. And again, it's not a lot of moving parts, but this is, yeah, we're moving in the right direction. So
good. Good. Well, that's all I got.
All right, Al, good stuff. Stay safe in the storm there.
I will.
Who else?
It's Tommy.
Hey, Tommy. How are you?
Hey. Good. How are you?
Good, good.
Good. Okay, so I have a few different questions. Just
yep.
an update. We've Kay. Hired two. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, hit it. I was just saying okay. Go ahead.
We've hired two salespeople. So Kyle's getting on the phone with one of them tonight.
Yep.
One of them is actually in New York, which, I mean, at first I wasn't too sure about it, but he kind of fit the profile and everything we were looking
yep.
for, so we're going to go and just see.
Cool.
Then I guess my biggest question is I haven't gotten all the way through the final video, but training and talking to them, I guess, is kind of my next, maybe just a little bit of direction on that. Because I know –
Training and talking to who?
The guys that we hire for sales.
Okay. Go ahead and then I'll
sorry.
Answer.
Sorry. I rewatched the video of Rob talking about how you talk to sellers. And so
uh-huh.
when we go to them, do we just have them talk like they're us? Is that our ultimate goal?
Here's what is normal. If they haven't done, and salespeople who have sold, they're, right, you're going to hand
right.
them a script. Here's mm-hmm. what you're looking for, right? They're two things. They're trying to find the owner, first of all.
Right.
Once they get the owner on the phone, they're trying to find motivation. Are they motivated? Yes or no? That's the first question.
Okay.
If they are motivated, what is the motivation? How strong is it? How quick do they want a solution? And all that kind of stuff. And here's what I think you should have them do. I think up front, you should have your salespeople set up you. They're just going to collect some information.
Okay.
Ask questions, and that's where the training, you can give them the script, build those questions into FreedomSoft,
okay.
into the custom fields. You want to set up a campaign for each of your sales team and only give them permission to their campaign so that you can move leads into that campaign, and those are the only ones they can see. So just like the video shows, it's got their script laid out. They have questions that they're getting answered,
okay.
right? And
got
they're
it.
Going through this thing, and then have them set up where you and your husband can call up. Now you know all this data. You can run quick numbers. You can call back, have them set a time and a date when you're going to call back, and you've got you're well-equipped to go into that conversation, build a little rapport, and make the offer, okay? Phase two is you're just going to train your sales team to do what you just did. And so now they're going to need a little training on how do we run the numbers, what are we looking at, right? There's a spreadsheet that'll run some numbers, and I'm pretty sure you have that. If not, let me know and I'll forward it to you. But I built just a spreadsheet you can punch numbers into, and it'll give you the quick math.
Okay.
You want to give them access to your easymapmaker.com map, right? Because now they can
right.
go into an area, and you just have to show them, here's how we're going to use this. Grab a live address. It's in this neighborhood. Zoom in on the map. Look, we have 20 buyers in this area. You know, hover over them, click it. Here's what everybody's paying. And they can start piecing the puzzle together. But at first, just get them calling the leads, finding the seller, going through the script, getting you the data that you need so that you or your husband can call back and offer.
Okay. Okay. Makes sense.
Yep.
I guess I must probably just absorb so much information. I, for some reason, didn't realize that we'd be creating their own campaign, but that does make sense because I do remember watching the customization video of the questions, so that helps.
Yeah. It's just the easier way to do it. Log them into your account, give them access to one campaign, They log in, they go right there. They know where to find leads. They have all their notes. And just keep everything right there. And that way you can have, you can run your bird dogs, skip trace the leads, and then you say, hey, these 20 are ready for salesperson one. And I can show you how to do that, but you just select them all from the source campaign, click campaign in the gray toolbar, select the salesperson's campaign, click apply, and those 20 will now be viewable from two different places, the source campaign where they came in, so the bird dogs campaign, and then the salesperson's, and they can go in and start working them. And it'll keep everything organized for you.
Sorry, where was this initial tab at? What do I click on to get to that?
So you're going to set up a campaign in. So you're going to go to the leads tab and click My Campaigns.
For sales.
And and you're going to put in salesperson one, whatever their name is.
Okay.
Right? Joe Smith Leads, San Antonio. And then you have to invite that salesperson into your account, and you're going to give them permission to that campaign. That's all they'll be able to see when they log in. So then, let's say you have Bird Dog 1, and they've driven 100 leads into their campaign, right? So Bird Dog 1 has generated 100. Your skip tracer's logged in. They've got them all skip traced. Now you can go into that source campaign, select, say, the first page, which would be 20 leads, and then go in the gray toolbar, it says campaign. And when you click it, all of your campaigns will show up. Select salesperson one, click apply, and it'll move those 20 into the salesperson's campaign. This is a little easier over video, obviously. So if anybody's getting confused, don't worry about it. And, you know, we can hash this out over video. But now what FreedomSoft does when you do that is those 20 leads still belong to the source campaign, so you know exactly how many your bird dog has created, but they are now viewable from the salesperson's campaign. So any change or update or note that gets added, you'll be able to see it from two different places. But what's cool about it now is when your salesperson logs in, those are the only 20 they see until you add more. So you can be behind the scenes saying, salesperson one needs 20 more. Salesperson two needs 30 more. And you can divvy them up without them seeing how many leads you have, where they're coming from, how, you know, what you're doing with them. They just know that, hey, 20 more showed up. Jump on the phone.
Got it. Okay, so that leads me to my next question. So I've already been through a handful of bird dogs, which I know this is normal, but I'm only at, I just had 40 more submitted right before the call, and she told me she'd get me 40 more tomorrow, but we're not even, I think we're just now hitting 100. So Kyle had a bit of a concern about keeping them busy, because I think one of these guys for sure is wanting to go at this full time. So do you have suggestions on that?
Yeah, more bird dogs, post the ad again, put a monetary, say, I need leads today. Can you drive today? Right? How many can you bring me, and I'm going to pay you today? Right? We need it. And then if you have to go into the vacant house tool and run a search in there and grab some of those and start getting those skip traced, you can add to it there. But bird dogs first. They're just going to be better leads.
Got it. And I have one more question, but I think you answered it when you talked about the buyer's list. I pulled it up, and so basically what I'm doing is I'm wanting to go to those pinpoints, look at the address, look at what they're spending when they buy those houses, correct, and then pulling their information to skip trace. I love that information you just shared about skip tracing them, so that was beneficial.
Yeah, that when you map out the absentee owner list from ListSource, and you map it in, some people have used MapQuest, some people have used Google Maps, and some have used EasyMapMaker.com. Whatever the case, they all show the same thing, right? You hover over a pin, you pull it up. It does so many things. First of all, it tells you, that map tells you where to generate leads. So the zip codes to send your bird dogs to, because that's where the investor activity is. The second thing is when you're talking to a seller, you can go right into their neighborhood or into their area, look up the absentee transactions and get a feel for price. These are what investors are paying. So if they're paying about 20 grand, for a three-bed, two-bath, you got to be buying at 15. So there's some markup in there, right? So you can get paid. So that's the second thing it does, is it tells you, it helps you make an offer. The third thing it does, once you're under contract, you go right back to those buyers in the area, skip trace them, get a number if you can. If you can't, send a postcard that says, hey, I've got a property 2 blocks from one that you owned at this address. Call me at this number. Are you still buying?
Okay.
So that's the magic list.
Okay.
You need it, or your leads manager needs it to tell you where your bird dogs go. Your salespeople need it. So it'll help them have conversation. It'll help them make offers. Right? And then the disposition side of the business needs it to go to the buyers.
Okay.
You're gonna go to, just to be clear, you're gonna go to every buyer you know. But that list will say, hey, here are people that have already bought in this neighborhood. High probability that they would take another one, right? They've already bought there.
Okay. Awesome. Got it. Okay. That's all I need.
Okay. Good update.
Thank you.
You went from zero to salesperson on board, I think, quicker than anybody so far. Nice job.
Oh, thanks. I'm driven, motivated.
It's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's a key piece. It really is.
Absolutely.
To have, you know, like I said, it's one of the fundamentals to make offers. How do you make offers? You got to get on the phone. Whether either you have time to do it or you bring a salesperson on to do it, but it's such a key piece. So it's good stuff.
I got a question.
Hey, Tom, I was just talking about you.
I got a question for her.
Yeah.
How did she interview the salespeople?
Okay, sorry, say that again.
How did you interview the salespeople? What did you ask?
To be real honest, I just got on the phone and I just kind of told them a little bit about us and that what we were looking to achieve and what we were doing. And I really just let them have the floor. One of them was really windy, I'm not going to lie, but I could just tell by his convo that he had potential. And then the other one actually worked for a big time investor in my area that he wasn't happy with previously. So I just knew, but I really just kind of let them have the floor and ask me questions. Cause I feel like if they're asking me questions, they're more interested in it. And I know if they're going to fit the piece or not than me trying to pry it out of them, if that makes sense.
Yep.
I don't know if that really helped, but that's just what I did.
So you basically got on the phone, painted a little bit vision about what you do and where you're going, and then said, what questions can I answer for you?
Yeah, that's it.
And then let them get their questions answered, and they're either have a good feel about it or they don't, and so be it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. And then I think it really kind of helped me too was the disc test. I mean, because that's really a, you know, pinpoint. If they're not high D or high I, then they're not going to work out. So that was, I mean, draw the line. And I'll be honest, my husband and I both dropped, we got really lucky because these were one of the, I probably got 6 to 8 responses, and these were one of the first two that we talked to. So, I mean, they could be total flops, but just from the conversations, I got him on the phone with me first, sent him the test, and then I got him on the phone with my husband because, I mean, he's kind of a little more into the number side and the detailed side of it. So I could always have him kind of give you guys more what he asked them also.
Good stuff.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's really be you. Don't hide anything. And I like that method, right? It's not we're calling it an interview, but it kind of is, but it's not really. I guess it is, but that's what I was saying. Just, you know, you can be clear and say, hey, I'm looking for, it's going to be kind of employer-employee, but not really relationship. I know how to generate leads. I know how to do this. I need a salesperson to come in. It's not my strong point. Here's where I see this thing going. You know, do you want to take part in it? So, and Tommy, you know, you hit the nail on the head there. If these people may work out, they may not. And I can give you you get a good salesperson on the phone with these leads. If they don't have things turning in the end of a week, you're at least the orange flag has to go up and say, what's wrong? All right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that, you know, that's a fairly common question is how long do I have to give it before I know if this is working or not? A week. And if they're not making some progress, or you know, at least setting you up or making offers and getting deals turning. You know, the orange flag has to go up. If you go 2 weeks and they're not cutting it, you got to find somebody else. These are great leads. You know, I've told you when Chris came in, now he had a real estate background, just buying and selling for himself, right? The guy that Rob and Brad first hired. But he had multiple deals popping in the first 5 business days. And you all are generating the same level of leads. Okay, so that's maybe quicker. Well, I shouldn't even say that because these are great leads. You get a good salesperson on the phone. The script is easy. You know, tell them find the buyer and sniff out motivation. Those are the two things. And so they should start to ramp it up pretty quick.
Okay.
You have to have a serious level of concern and seriously contemplate a change if they don't have anything going after 2 weeks.
Okay. Will do. I didn't mention this, but I real quick. My husband was kind of concerned. I went ahead and interviewed a lady today just because I liked her credentials. But after hearing you talk a while ago, I think what I'm going to do is place her on dispositions just helping me set appointments and really get her trained. She's an older, not older, I shouldn't say old or older, but she's more seasoned in this. And so with real estate, so I thought I would pull her there.
Did you give her a disc test?
Yeah, I did.
Where'd she come in?
High D, high I.
Is she really?
Yeah. So I could.
You could have her. Typically the S's and C's are more the accountants. The C's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And with a little bit of S in there. Here's the thing, though. You want to get her. She may be kind of a transaction coordinator type. Maybe you could even maybe pay her based on closings over that, or she could be a dispositions person.
Okay.
Just never know.
Well, I just, like I said, again, my husband's kind of concerned with our number of leads and having 3 motivated people and keeping them busy. So I was just kind of trying
waver. Yeah, he should be. Hire them, put the pressure on the lead side, and it'll force you to go ramp it up. I mean, there's nothing like salespeople beating down your phone saying, I need leads, I need leads, I need leads. That's better than the other side of the table where there's nobody, you know, a bunch of leads sitting there and nobody calling them. So either way is a problem, but yeah, you'll find a way to feed them.
Okay, let me ask you some more questions. I promise I'm done. It just kind of popped into my head. Before we signed on with you guys, when we were doing our trial with FreedomSoft, I did some of the videos about where we were pulling leads from Craigslist with the specific tags. So we have a ton of those flowing in there, but I think it's Oklahoma City and then like my hometown of Joplin. So if I went back and had that start flowing for the Tulsa area, could we use those as leads also, or are those just kind of maybe a back end?
Yeah, backup plan C leads probably.
You can
pull vacants right now in the with the vacant house finder and start to get them skip traced. And your skip tracer should be able to move quicker than your sales team. And you don't even have a sales team on board yet. Really, they're not on the phone yet. So
you've
got a couple days. The other one, let's do this. Tommy, email me. There's one more method because of where you sit. I want to email it to you so that I don't get anybody else off track and thinking, oh, I should go do that.
Okay. All right.
You just happen to be in the middle of 2 salespeople that you need a bunch of leads for, and there aren't leads sitting there. So I would rather – and it's not like we hide it from anybody, right? So don't be curious about what it is. But I don't want to bring it up on here because I want people to stay the course and not hear this in a recording or hear it now and say, "Ooh, I should go implement that." No, you shouldn't.
Okay, because that would have been me. I'd have been that squirrel syndrome and that person pulling off to the right.
Yeah, I want this group as focused as possible. So it's a specific answer for you, which is why I'm going to email it.
Okay.
So
awesome.
just shoot me an email and remind me about it.
I will. Thanks.
Okay. Yep.
All right.
But yeah, Tommy, you're still going. Bird Dog, Skip Trace, Vacants first. FreedomSoft, Vacant.
Got
it. Skip Trace,
got it.
Second. anything else third, right?
Right.
You really want to get, I mean, I want your focus on find four more bird dogs and have them all getting you leads today, and you'll go from having just shy of 100 to 400 or 500 in 48 hours because it's possible.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I'll do that.
That's where we want you. Here's the other thing. If you only have one skip tracer, get a second one on board.
I actually have two.
Okay.
The other one that's given me a runaround, she wants me to use Spokio, and I keep looking at the results and the ratings on it, and I'm like, I'm not doing it because I have Intellis. But
yeah.
So I just told her, yes, last night, I said, I think that we're going to have to part ways because I'm not going that route. And she kind of started backpedaling,
cool.
So I think I still have her on board.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to need a couple.
Okay. All right.
So eventually one probably rises to the top, and then you can stick with that one. But at this point in time, you need to generate leads and get them skip traced ahead of a couple salespeople. So if you have to lean on two or three, then make it happen.
Okay. Will do.
So, yep. Cool.
Uh-huh.
Who else?
Hey, Mike. It's Hal again. I just had a question you were talking about a while ago. And that was, I noticed when we do the comparables and I have that information put into FreedomSoft, that I think I can use, I know that area, that particular zip code, because that's what I'm in, and I noticed the difference between the high price and the low price is what they're paying, because that's about what they're going for, 40 grand, and then they end up selling them, you know, rehabbing them, selling for 100 plus. I mean, the difference is when you go in there and look at a comparable, it has to be houses that were wholesaled, and why can't you just use some of that information rather than going the other route? Is it just not as good, you think, or what?
You mean the other route by going list source and buying that list?
Well, I've already done that anyway, but I just noticed.
There's no better list than that one. But, yeah, you can go in FreedomSoft, but the list source list comes with the owner's name, and then when we go through it and add things to it, you can see first mortgage amount, second mortgage amount, square foot, beds, baths, last sale date.
Okay.
And you don't have to sort through it, right? You pre-sorted it. It takes 10 minutes to buy, you map it, and then there's no other searching. That's the advantage of it. It's just instant, right? It's just instant.
I think
FreedomSoft is pulling comps from a data feed, and ListSource is going to have, from public record, is going to have more data than the data feed pulling comps. It's just a nature of there are different data sources out there, you know, advantages and disadvantages to some. So nothing trumps. And here's what it comes down to. Rob, who's been at this for 20 years, what does Rob do? He picks a market. He says, okay, we're going to Memphis. Step two, he goes to list source, buys the absentee owner list, maps it, and then starts hiring bird dogs and telling them where to go.
Okay.
So are there more ways to skin a cat? Yep. You want the shortest point between here and there? Let's do that.
Yeah. It was more, I think, since I was going to do a few of the calls myself, that I could be there right away because I have a hard time getting this part cranked up with all the houses I got. That's been my problem.
Right.
Plus I'm old.
whatever. You're just wise, pal.
For the other thing, too, is I use Spokio just so – you know, and I got rid of it because I've used U.S. Search a lot, and I just got Intelligence as a second one. But Spokio is just – I use it in another part of real estate, and I just skip tracing people, mainly foreclosures and stuff, and it wasn't nearly as accurate as U.S. Search. So I could see why you might – whoever's using Spokio and likes it probably don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, Tanya was just saying that she quit using that VA that was using Spokio and said, no, if you're going to insist on Spokio, then I can't hire you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, still Ben has said LexisNexis. He's given the highest number I've heard. Rob thinks 60 to 65% of the leads they skip trace have good numbers. Ben was he told us a few weeks ago he thinks he's getting 80 through LexisNexis, and he's paying his VA 75 cents a lead, and then they have Lexis access. So that's strong.
Okay.
80% is strong.
Yeah,
Rob's making
strong.
It. You know, they're making it rain in Memphis with 60 to 65. So.
Hmm. Okay. That's it. I just want to make that comment.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, at the end of the day, every tool we talk about, there's another one. Every method, there's probably another way. But it's really about, you know, take the trial and error out of it. And, you know, that's where this program relies on what Rob has. He spent 20 years in trial, well, not 20 years in trial and error, but he's taken years to figure some of these pieces out. And that's, you know, that's the advantage of the program here. You just come to it and say, okay, what do I do? And say, do this next.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about the other. So, right, that list and list source, yep, you can use FreedomSoft to do it. But the data you get out of that list, Rob owns FreedomSoft, and he goes to that list because it's, you can add to it. You can be really, really specific on what you buy. So that's there's nothing that beats it that we know about.
All righty.
Yep. Good questions. Anything else?
Quick update, Malik here. Sorry,
hey,
I got my. I'm good. How you doing?
Good. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. So I finally got a bird dog now.
Yep.
I have one. I have a couple more that are responding to my ads, so I'm going to go ahead and put them aboard. And I'm going through my salespeople. They're taking a disc test. One of them, he's a very high I. I took it myself, and I'm extremely high I. So I have an interview with them tomorrow as well, so... I'm moving along in that direction. The interesting thing is I took the Tony Robbins disc test. It also gave you the value test, so it's like a 50-something page description of everything. So it's definitely in depth.
Yeah, that you know, that's one of the things. Just like we were talking about, there are multiple ways. So there are a bunch of great personality tests. We talk about disc because. It's the one Rob has always used, and so we just know the personality types on it. But yeah, they're good. And if you guys haven't taken one, take it. I mean, it matters, right? It's equally as important that you know about your team members or potential team members as it is that you know about you, right? You want to maintain stay in the areas of the business where you're strong, that you're naturally drawn to. And hire people to fill your weaknesses because everybody has them. So, yeah, it's incredibly valuable for you to know how you operate, no doubt.
Right. Now, I have some strong candidates for the sale position. Should I only just go with one, or if I can generate a lot of leads, should I get two of them? Okay.
Two is ideal because, like we were talking about, set up a little contest between them. I mean, you can have a rolling – you can whatever you want to do, but hang some carrots out in front of your salespeople. I think it was on either Thursday or Tuesday last week. I was talking about when you have more than one, you've got to set up a little Slack group, and Slack is just like an inter-team communicator. So you can access it on your computer. You can put the app on your phone. But you got to set up a little group, and you tell your salespeople, "Hey, when you ring the bell, when you get another deal, that's under you post it in Slack. That's the first thing you do, and that way the other salesperson sees it. That's the whole point of it. So if you have a sales team and they all work together, this isn't really relevant for our group, but you have companies that have sales floors, and there are however many people, 60, 100 people on the sales floor. They post everybody's results." In a big area on a whiteboard or on a electronic platform so every other salesperson can see it. Every sales floor does this. Why? Because the high D's and high I's are competitive personality types, and you want somebody to be the top dog, and then you want everybody else to want to dethrone the top dog, and then you want the top dog to think everybody else is trying to dethrone me, so I got to step on the gas. Right? I mean, that's why you're putting these types of personalities in. So, I mean, you're not going to rent office space and have a 50-person sales floor, but you want a group something or other, and Slack is, you know, we use Slack every day at the office. So I know you can get it for free if you don't have a big account with a lot of data, but you can set up a group where, you know, those salespeople post in there. So you want to fuel the competition for sure.
Okay.
And then it had to be a month ago, but we were talking about motivating a sales team in Spiff's and, you know, $50 gift card to this restaurant for the next person that puts a contract on the board. And, I mean, you know, if you have salespeople that are killing it, be ready to throw some cool things on the table, because those are the rainmakers for your company. So a lot of creative ideas out there. You know, we talked about a few. I mean, obviously you could Google how to motivate a sales team and you'd get a million ideas, but these, you get a good salesperson or a small sales team that's motivated, and they'll make it rain. They'll do it fast. So, yeah, Malik, good stuff, man. Keep those leads coming in, and I know we've had a few conversations about how to keep them busy, but two is better than one if you're ready for it.
Right. What about a high C? What would be a good task for them? I had somebody else take the test, came back as a slightly over above average D and I, but a very high C.
Yeah, the high C's are moving into the, you know, team players, accountant types, and I'm not trying to stereotype. I'm not an expert on the DISC test. You know, you can. There's a ton of information out there on the different personality types, but you move over to the other side of the table, and we're talking about people who are a little more employee oriented instead of, okay, you know, give me the 1099. I want the commission. I want to know that if I go kill it, I'm going to be paid accordingly, right? You move over to folks that are a little more comfortable with job security, that kind of thing. Like a transaction coordinator,
yeah.
You don't need a high D, high I. You need somebody that's, you know, dot all the T or all the I's, cross all the T's, can work off a task, you know, given really specific instruction. Here's what I need you to do, you know, get these things to the closing table, that kind of thing. So just don't put them in sales. They'll frustrate you. You'll frustrate them. They're just not wired for it. The competition will demotivate somebody who's not competitive. It will motivate somebody who is. So.
All right. Thank you for that.
Yep. Yeah, like a transaction coordinator / leads manager maybe could be somebody on the other end of the spectrum. The other thing about it too is the D's and the I's are the extrovert personalities. The S's and C's are the introvert personalities. So asking an S or a C to say, hey, here's a phone number of people you don't know and have never talked to, jump on the phone, that can be like a root canal. Whereas you get somebody that's an extrovert and they say, oh, great, if nothing else, I get to talk to somebody I don't know today, right?
All right.
So it's just, yeah, they're just wired different. That's all. Good questions, though. This is the stuff. It is about the how-tos of real estate, but we want this program to be beyond the how-tos, right? Obviously, we have to start there. But then this is the conversation that's really cool about this group, is that we're having entrepreneur, business owner level conversation. That's where we want it to stay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's about how do I generate a lead? How do I skip trace a lead? How do I have a conversation, right? Absolutely it's there. But as quick as possible, we want to get it to, you know, put on your business owner, entrepreneur hat, and let's go drive this thing. Because the how-tos, that's the easy part to teach. It's the business ownership, the you putting on the CEO level hat. How do you get yourself into that position? How do you stay there? What's the team that it's going to require? How do you find them? How do you train them? How do you motivate them? that's the stuff where people get hooked up. And if you don't, if the conversation never goes to that level, you'll learn the how-tos, you'll get in the middle of deals, you'll do everything, and you'll create a job. And nobody so far and nobody moving forward will ever join our program and say, hey, I want a job. I have a corporate job. I want a real estate job. Everybody says, I want a business. I want time plus money, right? And that happens. I'm just, this is like a big pat on the back for all of you for bringing great questions to the table, right? Of course, like I'm saying, if you're asking how-tos, that's perfect because that's where we start. But once that gets in place, we have to, the conversation has to go to another level or else we're just building jobs. So that's, like I said, that's, you know, that's just me patting everybody on the back saying you're bringing the right questions to the table, which is killer. And if you're plugging in and you're still on the how-tos, it's perfect that you listen because you're seeing where you're going. Once the how-tos are in place, these are the thoughts and the questions and the conversation that you want to be having. How do we build a business? Right?
Yeah.
That's what the group's about. So, good stuff.
Mike, Larry again.
Yeah.
Like in the area you're working in, do you try to get a phone number for that area code or?
Yeah, good question. Not always.
Away?
Yeah, if you're, you've got salespeople, right? You can easily grab a Google Voice number, or if you want your team calling through FreedomSoft, you can. I wouldn't say it's necessary, but it's pretty easy to set up. So, yeah, especially, you know, you're going to focus on one market coming out of the gate. So have your sales team grab a Google Voice number. Great question. That
now,
way they're calling local.
Do you ever use like a Bumper number so you can see how many calls you're...
Yeah, I think Rob has used a bunch of those services. There are a bunch of tracking items being implemented in FreedomSoft right now. If you want them to call through the app, it'll track it all. But, yeah, any of the above. It's one of those pieces that it's probably best if they're not calling from their personal cell phone, but it still works. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Now, do you try to keep track of them all, like say, hey, I see you only made two calls today, and that's why nothing's happening?
Yeah, if you have a service that you can track, that's best.
Okay.
The thing about it is if your sales team, they're either going to produce results or they're not. At that point in time, you're going to know what that result is. You can probably guess how many phone calls they're making, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I wouldn't say it's mandatory. If you have something in place and you already know how to use it, great. If you don't, I don't want anybody getting tripped up on trying to figure out a phone system. So either have them call from their cell phone or say, hey, if you're more comfortable, grab a Google Voice number and, you know, with whatever, Atlanta's area code or Memphis area code.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Good question.
Now, do you ever put offers in on anything that's on the MLS in that area?
Yeah, it's really, but that's the thing is I just don't want it to be a focus for anybody.
Yeah.
But the answer is yes. I'll tell you, though, Rob, he's really built Memphis all on vacant leads. Hasn't even gone to the MLS. It's a whole different game. Now you have a listing agent on the other end. At, you know, tops, you're going to have a 7-day inspection period. Your contract is going to be state. The state contract, it's probably 17 pages long. You probably can't make it assignable. Mandatory double closing. So, yeah, it's effective and it works, but we don't focus on it because it's a heck of a lot easier to go talk to the private sellers where things are a lot more flexible.
Yeah.
You know, 30-day inspection periods, one-page contracts, no agents involved. That's where we want to start. And honestly, that's where we're going to focus. You know, Rob will – he'll go back to the MLS. So watch this. When the market crashes again, there will be deals – in the MLS systems nationwide, and it won't take them long to get there because banks are going to foreclose. They're going to list them. Whole different strategy. So, you know, we can talk about it if and when it's relevant again, but for now, stick to the vacants.
Okay.
It's a higher percentage. And it's way more flexible working with the homeowner than with a listing agent.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. That's all I got.
Another
for now.
Question. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good stuff, everybody. Great questions today, as always. As always.
One final question, Mike. We're still paying our bird dogs $3 a lead. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, that's not set in stone. That's what we pay. I think, I can't remember who it was. Maybe Olivia was saying that they had somebody that was experienced and they were doing a few more things, and so she was paying more per lead. I think it was her. I don't quote me on that. But at the end of the day, Mike, that's what we pay, $3 per verified vacant lead. If somebody wants to do it for less, if you have to pay a little more, the bottom line is your business needs vacant house leads. So start there.
Okay.
If you have a market where somebody can drive into a zip code and they don't, you know, they're not 10 minutes between vacant houses, $3 a lead is a pretty good price, because they can go to one area, drive around, get 10, 20, 30, 40 in a relatively short amount of time, you know, and make a decent hourly rate. So if you go to a market that's a little more competitive and they're more spread out and there's, you know, they're driving further in between, there's, you know, more gas being chewed up, you probably have to pay somebody a little more, but start at $3 a lead.
Can do. Thank you.
Yep.
Hey, Mike, it's Tom. I'll give you a quick update.
Yeah.
My bird dog is, I don't know where he is. He's not responding.
Next.
We're supposed to go check the house. I haven't heard a thing from them, so I'm just going to start all over again.
No, you don't have to start all over again. You said that a few times now. You have some things in place and a bunch of knowledge and a bunch of know-how. So these two deals, come to find out, they're in an area that doesn't seem like there's a lot of activity. The guys can't, or they're not getting you into the house. So our conversation last week was just terminate the contract.
I'm going to do that. But I need to find a bird dog that's going to do what I need him to do, and then I need to skip trace. So it's basically like I'm starting all over again. But that's okay. Whatever.
Post the ad. Find three. Yeah, that personnel component's never going to go away. People go MIA. Who knows? And then you'll find somebody that'll just be fantastic. I mean, you know, Gary's taking a little break from the group. He and his wife are relocating to Florida from Hawaii, but he had one bird dog in San Antonio bring in seven. Oh, I don't know. Every time he got on the phone, he had another 50. I think he had one bird dog generate 1,200 or 1,300 leads in a fairly short amount of time. So just stay at it. The personnel, people are going to come and go. Sales side, bird dog side, skip trace side. That's just called business. So the thing about it, Tom, is you always have to be, as the guy driving the ship, you have to be saying, what does the business need? Is this person or these people or whatever generating it? And if that answer is no, then there's no need to send an email or to jump on an office hours or anything. You just have to make the change. And that answer goes to everybody. Here's what's happening. This is the desired result, yes or no. If yes, great. If no, I know what to do. I got to make the change. This person isn't cutting it. I need somebody else to fill their shoes. This VA just told me they're no longer skip tracing. I need to get somebody in place. This salesperson hasn't produced anything in, you know, 14 days. Just got to swap it. And that's, right, that's one of those things that it's going to happen. Plan for it. Expect it. It's not like it sets you back, you know, months or years or anything like that. But this is why, also, Tom, the conversation has been, you have to have somebody on the phone, and we've been talking about it for a while, and I know it's new, but when you have somebody consistently on the phone, when one deal like this starts to go sideways, it's just, oh, well, we have four more over here that we're working. These two sellers don't want to show up and do what's needed.
Right.
Guys, I'm terminating the contract. If you feel like selling and you want to call me back and take some action on this, then that's fine. If not, I don't care. And you've got other stuff in the hopper. That's the key.
Right. Well, yeah, and I'm going to have other stuff in the hopper where there's actually buyers to buy them. So that's okay.
Yep.
I'm retooling. We'll figure
that's
it out.
That's it. But you, every time either something works or doesn't work, we learn something. So, you know, failing forward and Kaizen, and that's what the program's built on, is if we're, you know, if you learn something, that's just as, even if it wasn't the desired outcome, you have more intel, you have more know-how, you've gone through some conversations, you've gotten it, right? So persistence wins, right? This isn't a race. We're not here to compare, hey, somebody got to this point. I mean, you know, John's story is really cool. He went from new market to payday, and looks like it's going to be 44 days. So don't let that be a frustration point. Let it be a, holy cow, let me stay at it, because that's what's possible, right? Use it as that kind of fuel, not to compare yourself to John fuel and say, what the heck's going on?
Yeah. I'll get there.
Cause there are just things that happen. I mean, Robin and Brad are dealing with a bunch of theft. They actually threw a guy in jail in Memphis. They had him locked up for stealing from him. So it's just not all roses. They're doing great out there, but the contractor construction piece in Memphis is just, you know, there's theft everywhere. And it's just kind of the way Memphis works. Skills they're buying are still great, so they're working through it. They have a project manager. He's got to be around every day. They've gone through a bunch of subcontractors because they were the ones stealing from them. They threw the one guy in jail. They almost threw a second guy in jail. Now they've got great stories to tell that says, hey, we threw Paul in jail, so if you guys want to mess with us, that's where this goes, right? So it's not all smooth sailing, right? There's wind that blows, and that's just the way it is. So the wind blows on everybody, and that's life. So yep, stay in there, hang in there.
Yeah.
Your voice sounds a little deflated, so I'm trying to build in a little energy.
Yeah, I'll get it.
Stay the course. But yeah, this is part of it. It's not all roses. I mean, that's just is what it is. Part of the game. It's worth it, but it's not all easy.
Mike, this is Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, man? We found a sales guy, high guy.
Yeah.
I guess since we last talked to you, we found him on Friday. We found him on Friday and got him on the phone, talked to him, and we're ready to get him started and everything. But you know, he lives in Fort Lauderdale. So we were going to get everything rolling, but obviously he was, you know.
And then Irma showed up.
Yeah, he was kind of doing the same thing as we were doing. So we're like, okay, you know, because we had a conversation with him late Friday afternoon, and I was like, so Saturday, I mean, that kind of all started happening. So we've been texting with him all weekend, though. You know, we've already talked to him, you know, showed him the script and everything. So,
yep.
Hoping to get everything back going this week with him because, you know, right now there's so many million people without power down here.
Yeah,
so,
I know it's a mess. So,
I mean, we're good though overall as far as me and
okay.
Quinn and everybody. I mean, we're all safe and our houses are safe. So, you know.
Yep. Yeah, you know, I heard back. I heard back from you, but not Quinn earlier. He's good too.
He's good. He's good, dude. He's running around all day and. There's just a bunch of trees down everywhere and, you know, gas out mostly all around where I live. There's no gas. But,
I want you guys, I was talking about this first salesperson. I want you guys to go right to two. Find somebody that's competitive.
Okay.
Do what I'm saying. Get a Slack channel.
Yeah, I heard all that. Yeah.
Get them working so they know what the other person is doing. And then.
Uh-huh.
Right on the heels of that, you guys can go right into dispositions person because you have
a couple
thousand leads, you told us.
Yeah, we do.
Want two people on the phone full time, and then as soon as this second salesperson is brought in, keep going through apps and find a dispositions person and say, hey, I've got these two over here that are about to light this thing up, and we got to get deals moved, and immediately start training that person, all right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, perfect. That's where we want to be.
You guys have you have one down. You have two to go.
Okay. You know, we had another guy working on our acquisitions, and I think he's just he's high B, he's high I. He's got some things under contract, and ever since he's been doing, you know, a lot better. He's out of the country this week, but like we said before, he's part time. Yeah, he's part time, and
if he wants to stay on board, here's the thing: if you have enough leads to go around, he can stay. But priority has to go to your full time people. So you guys will make the right call. Either, hey man, you've been doing a good job. We have two full time people. You're welcome to stay on board to keep generating. Because don't turn off contracts if somebody's tying them up.
Yeah. And he is.
Okay, but make sure then, if you want to keep them around, make sure you have enough leads that you're not taking from the full-time folks who are giving up more to be there and giving leads to the part-timer. So
definitely.
But yeah, that could be 2.5 salespeople, which is great. Because I know you guys have, 3,500 leads to work through? Quinn said?
Man, we got a pile of them, dude. I don't even know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch
in there. It's like there's this thin layer of granite between you and a gold mine, and
exactly.
It's been sitting there for a while. And what you guys are about to do is hand two people a pointed hammer and say, hit that wall, open it up.
Well, you remember how we were telling you about the guy in Tulsa that we've been using, and we were having our call the other night, and the thing about him is I've noticed. I mean, we're splitting the deals with him, but at the same time, he's able to take some of these deals and make way more money on them than we would even think. Like, for example, we got $3,500 for us, so he made $7,000 on a house that I had other guys come in and wouldn't even pay me more than $5,000 for.
Yeah, he's got the magic list.
Well, he's got, he's just been out there for so long, for 50, 50 years or whatever, and he knows everybody, and then he has, we'll just do this one with this, or we'll just break this one down and do that. Okay. He has like every different guy that does everything out there. So
you guys are going to, here's the thing. You got to have a conversation with him and you got to tell him, right, because Quinn said it on Thursday's call. He said, that's the guy that came to you and said, I have no idea where you're generating these killer leads.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, that's him.
Okay, so you have to have a conversation ahead of what's about to happen where you're going to say, listen, we can't pay you 50% anymore. We're bringing out a sales team. We're going to pay them up, but we should be able to bring you four times the deals. So let's get our relationship with you renegotiated here a little bit. And the volume's about to go through the roof. And let's find the win-win.
Right.
So, because you can't pay a salesperson 20% and pay him 50.
No.
Exactly. You guys are the ones driving the ship here, right? You have the goose that lays the golden egg.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got to renegotiate that now, and say, here's, man, we want to keep working with you, but we're about to give up some income for a couple salespeople to turn this thing on. So. Let's figure this out. Commission's going to go down, but we can send volume four or five times what it is right now. So let's make this happen because we like working with you. You enjoy our leads. He said it. So have that conversation sooner and get him ready for the storm that's coming. You can even tell him, say, listen, reach out to your top 10 to 15 buyers and tell them that you've got something in the works, and have him – talk to the folks that, he can ask the question. He probably already knows, but, start asking who has money that needs to be placed in the next 30 to 45 days because we're about to turn this thing on big time, open up the fire hose.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So you guys are all good?
Yeah, we're good, dude. I actually, man, all these people, everybody in my whole area lost power, but I didn't. I'm one of the only people. I never even lost power.
You're over further west in the state, right? When we were talking on Thursday, the forecast was it was going to go up the East Coast, and then it went up the West Coast. So I was thinking, well,
I'm on the West.
Plastered.
I'm 20 miles inland off the Gulf, and that's right where it came up. But when it got to me, it was about
like
a category.
Island.
It was category one. It flew right over me.
Okay.
The eye flew right over me.
But it was it had calmed down quite a bit when it got to you.
It was a category one, and I was me and my brother and a couple of us were hunkered down at his house, and we had kind of fell asleep watching some TV, and then the power went off, and I went outside real quick, and it was rocking and rolling pretty good, man. time to go back inside.
That's right.
Did you get
some video?
Man, you know, it was so dark, but I got some pictures and some video of some different stuff.
Yeah, I can shoot you over, man.
Email
it to the coaching email for me.
Okay, yeah, I got some trees that came out, man, that like the roots sticking out of the tree are just like taller. Man, I'm about 5'10", and I'm about 230, and it just makes me look like this little ant standing next to me.
Yeah,
I want to
see that. That's nuts.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You weren't that guy, that storm chaser standing out in the 160-mile-an-hour wind, were you?
That wasn't me, no, but
did you see
it doesn't scare him. Yeah, the guy catching, I seen it, and then I was watching, I mean, obviously we were watching it 24-7, the guy in Naples is like, oh, man, standing out there bracing himself, trying to give a report, it's pretty serious, but everybody's good this way.
Yeah, all right.
Good deal, man. I'll send you over all that stuff, though.
Yeah, let me see it. That was bizarre. My wife and I were pretty tuned in all weekend, so.
Oh, wow. Are you getting entertained with us?
No, we were just, we knew you guys were down there, and then you told me, you know, on Thursday, you said, yeah, we're on the west part of the state. We'll be fine. The eye's going east. And then I go home that night, and the thing all over the news, well, the hurricane's path is switched. Now it's going to roll up the West Coast. And I was like, oh, great.
Yeah.
You're about to get steamrolled.
Yeah. So, we're good. A lot of people get scared, man, but I'm just like, hey, man, I've been through these before. Just, you know, prepare and, you know, pray for the best. You know,
well, and it seems like, I mean, if you're on the coast, you have to get out. You're in a place where, like you were saying, you're pretty sheltered and you guys should be able to ride it out, but. If you're on the coast, everything got annihilated.
Yeah, if you're on the coast and you're getting a 9-foot storm surge, man, you're covered up. I mean, that's
right. Yeah, you
the bottom. I mean, you're drowning.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that blew me away when they explained it. I know we're kind of derailed here, but they said the storm surge is like basically the ocean level rising. So if it's 9-foot storm surge, the ocean level's up 9 feet, and then waves are crashing on top of that.
That's right.
Crazy. Yeah,
it'll kill you. It will literally kill you.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's dangerous. Well, glad you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Good stuff. So, yeah, kid, when you talk, it doesn't sound like Quinn's on. When you talk to him, you guys have one down and two to go, so let's get those in place.
All right, good deal. We will.
Have a conversation with your dispositions guy. You got to renegotiate that ASAP.
Okay.
So.
All right. We'll get it done.
All right. Anybody else? We're about 94 minutes in, so trying to keep these to about 90. But if somebody else has a question quick, I'm happy to take it. Let me know. Anyone? All right. Glad everybody's safe. Our Floridians and our pal in Atlanta, and I know John's up in Birmingham, so good to hear from everybody. Glad everybody's okay. Hey, yeah, great conversation tonight. Good questions. Stay focused. Obviously, anything in the next couple of days, get it to us in the coaching center, and stay the course and make it happen, everybody. So have a good afternoon or evening wherever you're at, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
Good night.
Take care.
Yeah, hey, buddy.
Bye.